You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.
Membership Services Coordinator at ACBC until Thursday, but I still am the Membership Services Coordinator. So I'm very grateful to be here. I have done this for 7 years and have loved every minute. It really has been incredible. I loved this organization when it was NANC and getting to know the people, and I love it even more now just because I've seen their hearts and their love for God's word, and our board of directors, their love for God's word and their love for people is really incredible, and our new executive director as well, just incredible. So I've been just really so blessed to be in this position, and I love it. And so the new membership source coordinator is right here, Mr. Mark Williams. So he is passing out these info brochures. So if y'all are interested in becoming certified, he is going to be the person that serves you in that process. So Mark has been training with me for about 2 months now, maybe 6 weeks, and I'm so thankful for him. He's already really proven to be just incredibly helpful and just really intuitive and just is learning the process very well, so I'm very, very thankful. So let's talk a little bit about ACBC, and I do want to just give a kind of a brief overview of where we are as an organization right now. I think it's helpful just to kind of get our bearings. And I'd like to kind of go over, so we actually have just under 2,000 counselors worldwide, which is really, really exciting. We have counselors in 36 countries. We have over 70 training centers. They just came in, so I forgot to ask our director, how many do we actually have? But I know it's over 70. and then we have one international training center in South Africa. And we're hoping to add a training center, we're thinking probably Germany, Brazil, and I think maybe Ecuador in the next 3 years, which is really exciting to kind of see movement there happening. We are founded in 1976, so we are 43 years old, which is very exciting. And Mark and I were kind of looking at stats over the last few weeks, and we realized that in 7 years, our membership has grown by 85%. Dale said 80%. It's actually 85. It's even more than 80. So, which is very, very exciting. And really, if the numbers kind of hold true to what we've been seeing and what is trending, we think we'll be at 100% growth in 8 years next year. So back in 2012, we had just over 1,000 members. So it really is incredible to see just the growth that is coming to our organization. We're 43 years old, but most of our growth has really been in the last 15 years. So we've really seen kind of the biblical counseling movement just gaining steam, which is really encouraging to see. And ACBC has not changed as far as our theological commitments go. We've actually strengthened almost all of our guiding documents in the last 5 years, which has just been really incredible to see, very encouraging. Okay, let's get on to a few ways to kind of keep up with ACBC. We have an ACBC app. Does anyone actually have the app on their phone? Oh, okay. Great. Not the conference app, the ACBC app. Okay. One, two. Great. Awesome. So that app is great because it's just an easy way to kind of keep up with this. Our blog is on there. You can also access our Truth and Love Weekly podcast on there. So you can get that in any podcast store where you normally would find podcasts, but it's also in our app as well. And also there's a Find a Counselor button in there, which is really nice just to kind of have that handy. So there's that. Also, our website, I always point people just to the actual website. Our blog is on there, which is updated weekly. We have ACBC essays, which are academic-style essays, and we just had our second volume come out. We had a donor about 4 years ago basically say, I want to help ACBC produce academic-style work. So it's really incredible. We were able to really find individuals that we felt could really contribute to conversations in biblical counseling and further discussion, and so they wrote those. And they are available PDF form, so they are long. It's not a normal blog post. They're longer, but you can download those and read them, and they're free because of a donor, so they're really a blessing. What was that? You're right. I think they're actually printed hard copies for y'all. Oh, volume 2, yes. Yes, it should be in your conference bag. Yeah, so that's a great resource. Those are really, really helpful to have. So don't download the PDF because that's a lot harder. Yeah, go get volume one online. So those are really great. And then we, of course, have our store online, and we have items for sale in our store year-round. And then also I tell people, follow us on Twitter, at ACBC, and on Facebook. And if you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, you can keep up to date with giveaways we're doing or conference discounts and that type of thing. Okay, so let's move into just kind of a basic overview of the ACBC certification process. And kind of to start this conversation, something I do want to direct your attention to is pathway through certification. Has anyone ever heard of this before or is familiar with it? Okay, maybe a couple. Okay, that's great. So this program, we actually developed this, I think it was 2 years ago. It took about a year to work on, actually. And I think we released it about a year and a half ago. And Pathway really is it's an online program that is completely free. And we had a special donor that also helped us with this as well. We were so grateful. And we developed a way of really kind of helping people track their way through certification. Because if you've even looked at our process briefly, it can be overwhelming to look at it just on a piece of paper or to even ask somebody questions. There's a lot to it. There's three phases and there's like elements in each phase and that type of thing. So we really want to try to just kind of grease the skids per se, just make it easier to really kind of understand what the process actually is made of. And so pathway through certification is that kind of the medium that we're using to help people. It's free to enroll, so you just go online. I think it's first name, last name, email, and maybe your address. And then you'll be given a code to log into the system. And it'll walk you through all of phase one. And then once you work all the way through phase one, and it'll basically tell you, here are the books you need to be reading. Here are the observations you need to do. Here are sources of getting your basic training, that type of thing. Once you finish all of phase one, it'll open up phase two, which is where I think the gold is in Pathway, because it walks you through all of the exam questions. And we videoed fellows at ACBC who were kind of had really experts in the area that we asked them to talk about on the questions. So this has never been made public before. Training centers would have access to kind of like training templates, you know, but we really wanted to make it open to anyone. Some people aren't even near a training center. And they're working from their home. And so Pathway, phase two in that pathway, opens up videos that walk you through all of the, I think it's first the theology exam, then the counselor's exam. So I would say, what was that? Yes, all the questions. So it's very helpful. So basically the fellow, the video is them saying, here are the important parts of the question. This is what is important to pay attention to, that type of thing. And that also gives you books that are resources. It'll kind of give you a list of books. These are the best places for the resources for these answers. So obviously we're not giving you the answer, but we are kind of pointing you in the right direction, kind of getting you off on a good start. So that's very, very helpful to be aware of. And then it also will kind of walk you through the elements of phase three. By the time you get to phase three, our office, Mark, will really kind of walk you through that through our office. But it's really helpful to have that on Pathway as well. So I wanted to kind of talk about that before I get into all these phases, because there's a lot in these phases. And sometimes when we get to the end of this talk, I look out and everyone's eyes are really wide, like, what did I just hear? I don't even know how to remember all of this. But just know that everything I'm talking about here is in Pathway. So it's really helpful that you can just go and access that whenever you want. So ACBC has three phases that make up our certification process. And we are very creative people at ACBC, and we call them phase one, phase two, and phase three. And so the first one is really comprised of training elements. The second one, it consists of our exams and application. The third one is where you will do your supervised counseling. So let's start in phase one. Phase one is the first phase, and it has three elements. So first phase, but three portions to phase one. The first portion is that where you will take a basic training course at an ACBC certified training center. And every single basic training, every training center has been vetted to make sure that their course is up to our requirements. and we require a core 30 hours in every basic training. Some training centers will do more. I would say a lot of training centers do about 38 hours, which is great. That and some advanced content, that type of thing. But every course is at least 30 hours or more of the basic training in theology and biblical counseling. To find a training center near you, you can just go to our website, biblicalcounseling.com/centers, to find one near you. And I always tell people that this is the best way of getting the basic training. So there's three ways of getting it. This is the best and my favorite. Because just being in person with your trainers is just invaluable. So it's just excellent. And if you have a training center near you, you can start networking with other biblical counselors, which is really invaluable to kind of have that camaraderie. So I always say, try to find a training center near you if at all possible. Best way of getting that basic training. The second way, which is the second best, I think, way to kind of get the basic training is to attend an ACBC CDT. So that's short for Counseling and Discipleship Trainings. So it's our basic training course, all the same elements you would get at a training center, but we try to go to cities that don't have any training centers. Or to locations like LA, they have, I think, maybe two training centers, but LA is massive. And so if you live on one part of town, you might not be willing to drive 2 hours to the other side of town. So our CDTs, we really try to pinpoint where do we not have training centers and where do we want training centers. And really kind of the idea of a CDT is to get people training in the area so that in hopes in the next 2 or 3 years after there's a training there, a training center will actually start because people will start getting certified there. And so you can see where all of the current CDTs are on our website, biblicalcounseling.com/training, to see if there's one coming near you. And that's updated about every 6 months. We kind of update new cities. And typically, we are in about 4 to 6 cities a year. And then I would say the final way to get the online training, which is perhaps the most convenient, but I would say my third favorite way, is the online training. And so it is helpful if somebody does not live near a training center, or if you're not able to kind of get out, or your schedule is limiting, or you're a stay-at-home mom like me, and it's hard to go places with children. The online training is very helpful, and it also contains all of the kind of basic fundamentals that we want in that basic training course. I would say it's my least favorite because you're not able to interact live. At the training centers and CDTs, you can interact with your teachers and that type of thing. But online training, you can't. It's all online. It's recorded. It works for the basic training, but you don't have that live interaction, which I think is just crucial when you're in training. But it does count for the basic training if you're not able to get to a training center, something like that. The second element in phase one are the observation hours. And this is where you observe an ACBC counselor for 10 or more hours. And also, there are two ways of kind of getting this. And I always like to talk about my most favorite way for each thing when there's a couple ways to do it. But I think the best way is just in-person observing live counseling. And so if you want to find, many of you probably know an ACBC certified counselor. But if you don't, you can go to our website and search to find a counselor and call one near you. It might feel a little weird to do that. But if you remember, every single counselor has gone through the same process. Mm-hmm. So they get an email from someone, hey, I want to observe you. They know exactly what you're doing. And most of the time, they really love facilitating that. So live counseling is the best. You can kind of debrief with the counselor afterwards. There's just things and dynamics that happen in the counseling room that you just kind of can't get on a DVD recorded set. So I always recommend live observation if at all possible. The second way I just mentioned is viewing an approved DVD set. There are several sets available. Has anyone actually done their observation yet? Did any of you use Faith or IBCDs? Okay. Who were some of the counselors you observed? Yes. Yep, Jim and Caroline Neuheiser. Yep, that's it. Yeah, okay, that's great. Yeah, there's about, I think, 5 or 6. That's IBCD set, and that's a great set. Yep. Yes, yep. And IBCD, so they are one of the training centers that kind of has recorded observation sessions, and they're great because they're streaming online. So again, if you're not able to find a counselor near you or your schedules just aren't working up to meet, because sometimes that is difficult to kind of find when that schedule, sets up, You can watch them online, and IBCD has a great streaming service that you can watch them all there. Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries up in Lafayette, Indiana, they also have some, and I think they have some brand new ones coming out as well, which is really exciting. So they also have some as well. The BCC is another training center. They have some, but I don't think they're available unless you're actually enrolled in their basic training. So I've tried to find them online, but I think they keep them locked until you actually enroll. But IBCD and Faith are online for anyone. So that's the second way of getting those observation hours. And with those, you'll just need to, there's a log online, a reading and an observation log. And I always tell people just download those even when you're in phase one and just kind of track your work as you're working through. And then you can kind of track it on a paper or a PDF file and that type of thing. So that's helpful. And then that log will need to be filled out when you get to phase two. But if you fill it out now, you can have that done and ready to go when you get to phase two. So the third element in phase one is the reading element. And this is where we want you to read 1,000 pages or more from the approved reading list online. 300 pages do need to be from the counseling and theological portion of that list, and the rest can be from any books on that list. And you can find that list online. Again, it's a PDF that you can download and look at. And again, just use that reading log to kind of record your work. And when I get to this part, I always tell people, try to get a good systematic because you can get your reading done in that, but also it's really helpful for those exams. So it's kind of great to kill two birds with one stone, get the reading done and have something already for those exams as well. Now, before I go to phase two, let me kind of explain here. Our phases, those need to be done in order. So all of phase one does need to be completed before you start in on phase two, but the elements in phase one, you can do those interchangeably. So you could start your reading and then you could schedule to go to a CDT and then you could do your observation. You can do them all at the same time. So that's kind of helpful to remember. So phases are separate, but all the elements in phase one can be kind of mix-matched to kind of fit your schedule, whatever works for you. Okay, and then just to let you know, I'm going to do a Q&A at the end. So I'm sure lots of questions. I know I see some like eager eyes. I'm like, wait a second. But we're going to get to some question Q&A at the end after I go over this. So second phase are the exams. And this is where you will work on your theology exam and your counselor's exam. And they are open book, essay-style, original work essays. And when I first heard about these exams years ago, I thought, oh my goodness, Q&A, like multiple choice and my goodness, that type of thing. But the really nice thing is, exam is kind of a funny word for them because they really are papers. And you'll be writing them. You can write them at your own pace. So the only time limit that exists in phase one and phase two is that you'll need to submit application with ACBC at the end of phase two within 4 years of the basic training course. So let's say, I'm really bad with math, but if you completed your basic training course in 2016, you would have until December 31st of 2020 to submit application and exams. So that's just kind of a helpful thing to kind of keep in mind. And we count by the year, not by the day, month, that type of thing. It's just by the year. Simple for us, simple for you guys. So just helpful to know if you complete your basic training in a particular year, just know that you have 4 years until the end of December to kind of submit application and your written exams. So that's a helpful kind of timeline to be aware of. Open book, essay style, original work, 1 page minimum to 1.5 pages maximum. So that's a pretty tight boundary. One of the reasons is that our graders really want to see you really know your content and you know it well enough that you can fill a page with it. But they want to know that you can also be concise and not go 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. Once I saw an exam come in, I think it was 90 pages long. So that's a lot. And that's not normal. So don't worry about that. So a page to a page and a half is what our graders are really looking for. So just kind of keep that boundary in mind as you're writing. We do want to cite all the sources that you use. So if you are quoting from a book or you're even maybe taking a particular idea, it's good just to kind of cite that, just to kind of let their grader know, this is where I found this or this is where I'm getting this from. And it's really helpful for the grader. So for the citations, We don't require like a very particular citation, but we have a very basic citation style that's online. And I think it's something like last name, book name, italicized, and page numbers. So very, very simple, not complex. And then for scriptures, you can do parenthetical citation. So just instead of writing out the whole verse, just put it in parentheses. So just parentheses, John 3:16, and move on. So instead of typing out the whole thing, because sometimes we want your exams to be filled and saturated with scripture, but it can't just be copy and pasted scripture. sometimes that's happened, and we are thrilled that counselors are using scripture in their exams, but it does need to be you in your own words, because when you're sitting in the counseling room, you are reading scripture to them, but you're also explaining and teaching that counselee what scripture means, and so the grader wants to see that ability on the exams. There are more there's more information on that on our website underneath exams. Okay, at the end of phase two, one more quick thing. I always recommend write your exams in this order. Write your theology exam first, and then your counselor's exam. And that's really helpful because you're kind of building a theology of counseling on your theology exam, and that'll really help you in your questions on the counselor's exam. Because the questions on the counselor exam are still theological. It's practical theology. And so if you get that exam done first, it'll really kind of be a helpful foundation for that counselor's exam. So I don't want to forget that. When your exams are done, you will submit application with ACBC. And you will send an email, and it'll go to Mark. And Mark will respond to you and give you instructions on how to submit application. And in that application, you'll need to submit both of your exams. There is a pastor-elder evaluation, there's a colleague evaluation, there's a letter that needs to come in from your church that lets us know you're a member in good standing and under their authority. There's logs that need to come in, there is an application fee, it's $100, and we just use that to go straight to the grader and pay them. So we actually don't make any money on in phase two. That money just goes straight to pay the grader who works on your exams. I'm trying to think of what else is in there. I think that's about it in there. So that's the application packet, and once the entire application packet is in, then we'll send you an email letting you know it's in, and we're going to send it to the next available grader. And then, basically, the grader will then interact with Mark, and he'll kind of let us know, you know, are there rewrites, are there pass, and I'll kind of talk about the different exam grades that you can get. I would say the most common is called a rewrite. And a rewrite sounds really terrifying. but I think the thing that's helpful to understand is that a rewrite does not mean, I don't think I've ever seen this in 7 years, maybe once. It never means rewrite the entire exam. It typically means strengthen this portion here, or here's a resource here. The grader really is more of a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like to tell people, view the grader as really kind of an extension of phase one. So they're not standing there like, who can we keep out? You know, they're standing there going, we want to shepherd this person and further solidify their theological and counseling commitments and really just strengthen them. And that's what the grader's doing. And I just love our graders. They're just incredible men and women and just wonderful. So I think that you will love that process. But there are three different grades. One is rewrite. And that typically means a few questions may be strengthened, adding scripture in, adding some more resources in, that type of thing. Second one is pass. And so that, I would say, is more rare on the first time through, but it does happen. So maybe 15% of the exams that come through kind of get a pass on the first time through. The third one, and normally I almost leave it out, but I have to tell you about it because it is a grade. It's called a fatal error. And that's a really scary term. Maybe we need to take the word fatal out. I don't know. But it's kind of hardcore. But basically that means that you are holding to a counseling or a theological commitment that is against our guiding documents. So I always tell people, just make sure you're reading the guiding documents before you get that far in the process. And this type of thing, I'm trying to think. We had someone who held to modalism. So they held a modalistic view of the Trinity. So that's against our guiding documents and a lot of other solid churches, actually. So that's a fatal error. And we just can't accept in the membership someone who holds that type of doctrine, false doctrine, actually. And the other type of thing is that we are complementarian in our understanding of men and women's roles in the church and in marriage. And so that's another thing we really want people to be complementarian as they're coming through process. So fatal error, scary. I've only, it like maybe once a year. And we have about 400 people come through a year. So don't worry about it. But it is helpful to kind of be aware of that and just read those guiding documents before you get too far. Once you pass your exams, it's a very, very happy day. And Mark will send you an email that you have passed, and he'll give you instructions on locating a supervisor for phase three. And phase three is where you will complete 50 sessions of supervised counseling with an ACBC fellow. And a lot of times we get questions here, you know, many of you probably are like, I don't even know who a fellow is, and I'm certain I don't live near one. But most of our phase three candidates, I would say 90% of individuals in phase three, it's done remotely. And so my husband actually was supervised by Tim Pasma this past year. Wonderful supervisor. All of our fellows are wonderful supervisors, but Tim will hold your feet to the fire, okay? I know that. And he's incredible. But it's done by, Trevor would have a phone call about every week. And so Trevor would do his counseling during the week, and he'd fill out very detailed case reports on all of the counseling he was doing, email them to Tim about 24 hours before their meeting. Tim would review everything, and they'd have a phone call to review all the counseling sessions, typically about an hour phone call, maybe a little more, that type of thing. And it really kind of depends on your counseling load as well. So if you're only doing maybe one session a week, the supervisor might say, let's meet every 3 weeks. And we'll go over three sessions every 3 weeks. But if you have more, at one point I think Trevor was doing 10 sessions a week. That's a lot. They were meeting every week to go over those sessions. So that's just kind of helpful to know that our supervisors really want to work with you. And they don't demand like, oh, we have to meet all these times. But they'll kind of take into account how many are you working with. Is it one a week? That's okay. We'll kind of space that out, that type of thing. The fellows are really wonderful. And honestly, I think phase three is kind of like the gold crown of this whole process, because it really is, and honestly, I'd like to tell people, don't be intimidated. It's intimidating to like start counseling someone and have someone kind of reading over all your notes. My goodness, that's intimidating. But I think it's helpful to look at these guys, these men, so they're fellows, which means they're all pastors, and they're just, they're shepherds, and they just really are so caring and helpful when they're helping you to think more faithfully and even just strengthening your process in the counseling room. So my husband went to seminary and loves seminary, but he was like, Amber, I learned so much more about the just practical, personal ministry of the word in phase three than I have in 5 years of seminary. So seminary, I'm not knocking seminary, it's wonderful, and it's needed even. But Trevor just said, as far as practical ministry of the word goes, phase three was incredible. And so it's really amazing and so worth it. So I just am always so excited when there are people kind of headed into phase three. One kind of final thing before we go into our Q&A, I always tell people to kind of pay careful attention to the frequently asked questions that are online. So we have some very helpful information in those FAQs that it's helpful just to kind of read over them before you kind of get started in the process. A lot of questions that kind of come up or hiccups in the application portion can kind of be helped if you pay attention here. So that's just kind of helpful to be aware of. Now this is funny, I did not update the slide. Don't email this email address. You can email Mark Williams. So the email that you will want is mwilliams@biblicalcounseling.com. That's so funny. I thought that I updated this thing, but I did not update the last slide. mwilliams@biblicalcounseling.com. And Mark, yes, that's correct. And Mark will answer any single question that you have ever. And he'll do it all on Thursday too. Just kidding. give him a week. So really, we are here, and Mark is here to serve y'all. in this process. So we know that it can be really overwhelming. It's very technical, and there's all these different elements and different requirements and numbers and that type of thing. So we really just want to be here to serve you. We're so thankful for anyone who's in process with us. We love that you love people and love Jesus enough that you want to be trained to do it better. And we just want to be here to serve you. And that's what my job is or was, and that's what Mark's job is. And we just really love you and want to support you in that endeavor. We'll kind of move into a Q&A. So do we have any questions? Any questions at all? Yeah, back here. Good question. So it is, I think, 1-inch margins all the way around, 1.5 spacing. Gosh, you know what? I might be wrong on that spacing. Hold on. I think it's 1.5. Okay, I'm like, oh my goodness, I haven't gotten this question. 1.5, 1-inch margins. There are templates online. I'm glad you asked this question. The templates are really helpful. We had someone who was kind of a word template guru. They were like, hey, those instructions are confusing. I made templates for you. And I was like, praise the Lord. Can I put them online? So those are online, and those are really helpful. So if you are a weirdo and you like technical stuff, great. Download the non-template ones. But if you like to make your life easier, use the templates. They're really, really helpful. Another question back here? Yes, templates are great. So, yep. Any other questions? Oh, funny. I wonder if it's the, I'll have to look at that. Okay, well, good. Any other questions? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah, seriously, the bookstore, I'm kind of an Amazon person. So I was like checking everything. I'm like, oh my goodness, we have to go shopping. Really good deals in the bookstore. Seriously, they're like a bunch of them are half off, honestly. So, yeah, great resource. Another question? Yeah, so the question is, I'm repeating the question just for the recording, not because I think you guys can't hear him. But yeah, so if you get a rewrite, what does that mean? So a rewrite grade, you could get a rewrite grade and just have one question that you strengthened. And it might take you 5 minutes to strengthen that question and you email it right back. So that the rewrite grade is just kind of letting us know that there's a little bit of work to do. And like I said, it could be one question where it's like, hey, you just left out kind of this portion here, fill that in, you'll be good to go. Or it could be a little more than that too. So a rewrite is for the entire exam, and then the grader will tell you specifically what question on the exam to rewrite or add to.
What question or more than one question?
Yes, exactly. You'll get a grade card, which so the grade card covers both exams, and the grader will give detailed instructions on the exams, kind of, and then he'll give you even resources like check out this resource or this type of thing. And the grade card is like a summary of maybe rewrite question 2, 10, and 11, and you pass your counselor exam. So sometimes people will pass one exam and just have a little bit more work on the second, that type of thing. Yes, yep, because both exams go to the grader at the same time. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yeah, right over here.
So in terms of documentation phase one,
the
document, is there a certificate issued or once you go here and send that email?
Good question. So the question is, when you take a basic training somewhere, how does ACBC know that you've actually taken that training? Is it a certificate or that type of thing? So that is kind of, there's a two-tiered answer to that question. So for right now, we have a drop-down list of all the training centers that have been approved on the application. So we trust you when you say, I've gone to this one, and you'll need to select that from the drop-down list, the correct one, and then you'll need to list off the entire contents of the basic training you took. So we can kind of tell, okay, we know these people are teaching here, that type of thing, we know they're teaching these courses. The second answer to that is that we are hoping, maybe in the next year, maybe year and a half, 2 years, that we want to have some type of a certificate system with our training centers so that our training centers will kind of alert us when someone's taking a basic training so that we can just more easily verify that. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be, it's right now it's kind of the best we can do as far as administratively what we've kind of figured out. But in the future it will be, you know, some type of a certificate system, or they will notify us who's in basic training so we can just easily know that you're in there, that type of thing. But right now it is just on the application and you select where you took your basic training. Yeah, question here?
Just following up on his question. If I'm not near a training center, I do IBCD videos, is that on the drop-down menu or is that
yes. It is, yeah. So the question is, if I don't go to a training center and I do maybe like an online training, like IBCD, how do we know? And what you'll do, because IBCD, I think they do some on-site trainings, or at least they used to, but a lot of it now is online. So you'll select your training center, and then you'll select the method. And we have on-site, which is training center, and we have off-site, which is online. Because we have some training centers like Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries up in Indiana, they do on-site and they do some online. So there's a way to designate that. Yeah, Mark. Oh. Yes. Thank you. Mark actually was helping me like make our application way better. And he's right. There's actually three ways. So there's online, off-site, which is like a training at another church that a training center went and did. And then there's online. Perfect. Thanks, Mark. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah, over here.
Yeah, this is more like a curiosity question. Most organizations require you to apply first without the application and then go.
Mm-hmm.
What's the rationale for doing the phase one and phase two and then apply? Mm-hmm.
You know, I would have to ask those board members from 43 years ago. So you're right, and you've actually kind of identified something we're trying to solve. So really for 43 years, a lot of the training has been in phase one. And I think the reason that was done was that so that people could really kind of study on their own pace. Because ACBC, it's not the case now, but when we were founded 43 years ago, it was mostly lay counselors. So CCEF historically was all pastors, and then Dr. Adams and a few other men decided, oh my goodness, we need to be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And so we can't just do pastors because the saints in the church need to be doing this. And so AMP NANC was founded. And so I think that a lot of people that did this originally, they had full-time careers, and many of you probably do. And so it's hard to kind of figure out how am I going to get all this done. And so I think that probably the intent was to make it a bit easier for people to work at their own pace in phase one, which I love that intent. But you're right, it is a problem when if we get someone to the application phase and then, oh no, we have a modalist who's applying, so that's a problem. And we really want to kind of help those people in phase one. Because we would love to help those people, even maybe do deeper theological training at that point and just kind of teach them. So I think really the reason it was made that way was to be a service, but we're trying to figure out a way right now to kind of really get in touch with people more in phase one. And that's Pathway was kind of at least an attempt towards that. Pathway is not required. It's more of a service to anyone in process. But Pathway is an attempt. We have everybody read through the guiding documents before they even get into Pathway. So that's something that's really helpful there. The application? No. The application is just basically like biographical information. We want to know where you did your basic training, if you have any further education at colleges, and then your personal testimony. So it's pretty standard as far as an application goes. Yep.
Is there like a background check done?
So, you're right. So, great question. So, background check, that was the question. So, background checks were just approved in this members' meeting. Our members approved it. Actually, I think it was 100% voted for it, which is really, really encouraging. As of right now, I believe we're only requiring background checks for actual members. We do ask about that type of thing on the application. We ask about any type of, if you're on the sex offender registry, if you have any previous felonies, all of that we do ask about. But the background checks are actually required for incoming members and current members. And those will be done we're not really sure, but it'll be done on a cyclical basis. And ACBC will just handle all of that. But the actual application, the exams need to be submitted, the application form needs to come in, reading, observation log, an evaluation from a colleague, so that could be a friend, a coworker, something like that. Evaluation needs to come in from a pastor or an elder at your church on your behalf, and then also a letter from your church that states you're a member in good standing under their spiritual authority, and then also a $100 application fee. That's kind of what the application packet is. And we do ask that it be submitted within a 6-week period. So you can start the application, and then we need everything to come over the next month and a half. A lot of people start it and complete everything within a week, because you're kind of depending on other people to kind of get those eval forms in. Sometimes it can take a little longer, but 6 weeks is kind of max. If we go beyond that, we really want to have updated evaluations, church letters, that kind of thing, just making sure it's all current going into phase 3. Any other questions? Yeah. Yes. Yes, the evaluation form is actually a form online that you just email the link to your pastor or elder or colleague, and they can easily click on it, fill it out, and submit. So it went 7 years ago when I got here, everything was mailed in paper. And so it was like 10 pieces of mailed in paper per applicant, which is a lot of work on the applicant and a lot of work on us. So August, we actually had about over 41 applications come in. And so this summer we were averaging one new application and a set of exams a day. So that's a lot, because each application contains 10 different elements. So the online forms are really kind of how we manage that intake of content. Yeah, question. So the observations, that form, you'll actually kind of keep that on hand until you get the end of phase 2. And so the observations, that actually, you can't mess that up. So don't worry. All you're doing is just kind of observing a counselor and that type of thing. So you're just watching them counsel. You don't need to take notes on it or anything like that. We just want to know that you've seen an ACBC counselor for at least 10 hours, just to kind of get a feel for what a normal counseling session's like. And you'll just hold on to that form. And once you get to the end of phase 2, this phase 2 with the exams, applications at the end, then you'll submit that with your application. Yep. Any other questions?
Again,
okay.
I'm the pastor of the church.
So okay.
Do I have to fill out my recommendation? Another pastor from another church?
Yeah, so that's a common question. So a lot of times we'll have pastors come and get certified who might be the sole pastor of the church. If that's the case, we would prefer someone at your church, so maybe if there's a head deacon, they could fill that out. That would be fine to fill it out for you. Sometimes pastors come from very tiny churches, and there's maybe not even deacons, or it's a church plant. And in that case, we'd want a pastor that knows you well from maybe a local church, that type of thing. So we would like the evaluation to be from someone that knows you within the church. The lead deacon is fine. If not, then an area pastor that knows you well. Any other questions? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So the question is really kind of concerning, you know, the maximum time is kind of 4 years. We really want that basic training to be updated recent within 4 years before getting into phase 3. Minimum time. So this is crazy and not normal, but I knew of someone that they had done all of phase 1 and all the exams, and they completed phase 3 like in 5 months maybe. So That's a lot of counseling. But some people have that caseload. I think I saw 3 months once. And the fellow, I mean, as long as the counselor is growing and they're doing a very good job and the fellow is saying, yes, this person's ready, that's great. So there's not necessarily a limit on minimum time. There's that four-year limit from phase one to the end of phase two. And there is a one-year limit on phase three. I think I mentioned that or not. But 1 year to get 50 sessions. And so it's helpful to kind of think of that in terms of, really, that's one session a week with a week off for Christmas and a week off for Thanksgiving. So that's kind of helpful. but if you need an extension on that year, it is possible to get that. Sometimes individuals live in rural areas or at very small churches where there might not be as many people. 50 sessions in a year is a lot, and that's fine. You can apply for an extension if your fellow approves that. So, question, yeah. Good question is, does anyone not pass certification? You know, I'm trying to think. I think I've seen that maybe three times in 7 years. And really, those are cases where the counselor maybe was just really unwilling to kind of change ways of counseling in phase three, that the fellow was really saying, like, this is more faithful, it's more faithful to Scripture, and the counselor just wasn't willing to do it. But that's 3 out of 1,000 people. No, not that's 1,000 incoming members. Yeah, something like that. I don't know, not even that. So it's very rare, I would say, for someone to be, like, in one sense, not allowed. The fellows really work really hard just to kind of work with the person and grow them and that type of thing. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, good question. I like to go over cost, if possible. So let me go over all three phases, just to kind of give a broad overview. So phase one, really the only cost in phase one, the books. So that'll cost if you have to buy books. Some people don't have to buy the books. You can borrow them from pastors or other counselors you know. That's fine. So there could be some cost there. I would say around maybe $85 to $100 if you have to buy the books. And I would recommend Good Systematic. They are a little pricier. Sometimes you can get them from the library. It just depends. Then the counseling observation, if you're able to observe live counseling, that's free. Obviously, you just go and observe. If you have to pay for the DVDs or live streaming, I think it's $167 for either 10 or 12 sessions. So that is a fee there. And those are at the training centers that offer those, that have produced those. And then, I'm trying to think, reading exams, basic training course. Basic training courses can vary on kind of cost. And it really depends on, is the training center having to kind of fly their own people in, or do they have their people on site? So the cost really varies on how much the training center is having to pay to kind of bring people there to teach. So it just varies. You just have to look at your training center in your area. Phase two, the only money there is the application fee, and that's $100. And like I said, that application fee, we take that, process it, and send it straight to your grader, whoever is working with you on those exams. Phase three is where the bulk of the cost does come in, and it's currently $650 for a year. And you'll be working with that supervisor for that entire year. That's paid directly to him. That doesn't come through ACBC. You work that out with the fellow. And typically, if you have to, if you need to, they'll even work out if you want to, like, pay it every 3 months or twice or something like that to kind of break that up. Most of our fellows are just really, really gracious, and they just really want to work with you on that. So, question? So it's done remotely. Nope. Yeah, so how does supervision work? So it's done remotely. So you'll just need access to an email and a cell phone, and you will fill out case reports on your own, and then you'll email those to your supervisor. And then it depends on your caseload, but typically you'll meet with your supervisor once a week, once every 2 weeks, that type of thing, and over the phone or via video call to kind of go over those case reports. Yes. Yep. You can meet your supervisor in person. A lot of our supervisors will kind of connect with all of the people they supervise at our annual conferences. So we always really encourage people to come to the annual conference. You can connect with your fellow and meet them here and that type of thing. So a lot of our fellows even set up lunches with their people at these annual conferences. And that fellow really becomes kind of a relationship that you can kind of even use and grow from after you even get certified. So it's really helpful. A few more questions. Anyone? Yeah, over here. Okay. Yes. Yep, so IBCD, so there, the question was relating to IBCD and the relationship with ACBC. All these acronyms, it's kind of crazy. But IBCD is one of 70 training centers that we have. So there's about, I think there might be actually 74 total. But IBCD is a training center, and every single training center covers at least the basic training in phase one, helps people through, kind of gives them a reading list and kind of shows them what books to read, and also the observed counseling. So a lot of training centers, IBCD has their own DVDs of counseling that you can observe, but a lot of training centers might not have that, and so they'll use IBCD's observation, which is fine, and that type of thing. But IBCD is simply just a training center with ACBC. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. One more?
If I do pathway.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the question is kind of, if I do pathway, do I have to use all of it? So really, pathway is just to serve you. So if you only want to use it for one exam and you feel like I'm good on the other exam, that's fine. You can just use it for phase one, or you can just use it for your exams. If you feel like I'm good on phase one, I know what I'm doing, but I do want to use it for exams, that's totally fine. So yeah, you can just use it as a tool for yourself. Yeah. Anyone else? Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And just if you have any other questions, email Mark. The first time I've been able to say that. Thank you, everybody.